Read Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I got a big show for you today. I've been running around signing books at all sorts of Barnes and Nobles, hither, yither, and yon. Thanks so much to Twin Falls, Idaho. 2 days there. Great, great bunch of fans of the Threads West series. And Idaho Falls, Idaho, also terrific. And the last 2 days was at Lone Tree, Barnes and Noble, on County Line Road in Denver. Man, a pile of books and a pile of fans. We have thousands of readers out of that store. It's been excellent. And you know, one thing I'm noticing in talking to people, because you get to talk to people when you sign books, and I really like that, although I couldn't do it every day of the year, trust me. It is nice to get back to the ranch after hobnobbing with thousands of folks. But one thing I'm noticing is people are angry. You know, a year ago, I talked to you a little bit about my book tour and told you people were annoyed. And people were apprehensive. And people were worried. That's morphed. People are pissed off. They are really pissed off. I'm going to talk more about that after my next week of book signings, because I'm talking to people specifically about issues and about their feelings about government. And it's really, it's quite an insight, you know, when you talk to hundreds of people, literally in a day, over the course of several weeks, and you've talked to, over the month of December, I'll probably talk to 5,000-6,000 people, at least. And boy, do you get an earful, and do you get some insights, way better than all the morons, the pundits, and the polls. That'll be for next week or the week thereafter. I'll tell you what we're going to be reviewing today. And we got a bunch of things to review because lots have been going on. And remember, it's my job to bring you news that other people don't bring you. So I'm going to mention a few things here, but you've also heard it on the news. But I'm putting them together as dots. I'm not going to go into great detail. One of the things we're going to talk about, and you haven't heard this, is this absolutely scummy, illegal, around the back of Congress who voted to defund certain organizations, funding of extreme left organizations by Barry Obama, Valerie Jarrett, the other traitorous bunch in the White House, all engineered by our friend Eric Holder, the dearly departed Attorney General, who's been replaced by Loretta Lynch, who hasn't done anything to prosecute Hillary, won't prosecute Lois Lerner from the IRS, and whose major concern following the terror attacks in Bernardino, which Barack Obama now calls gun violence, her major concern is that we don't discriminate against Muslims. No, we wouldn't want to do that. Well, let me tell you something to set your hair on fire. But before I do, here's a kind of a rundown of the show. We're going to talk about this insidious funding of $500 million of your money and the nefarious way that Holder and Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett and the rest of the louts at the upper echelons of this government at the current moment have befuddled you, have again frauded you, and frauded the Congress and the Constitution by funding groups that were defunded, like La Raza and the American Center for Progressivism, also called Communism. You know, look, by the way, that particular group was run by a guy by the name of John Podesta, who then went to the White House to help Barack Obama draft all his executive orders, and who's now the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton. Does that kind of tie all this in together for you folks? You know, I mean, birds of a feather, and I'm being nice. I'm being nice. We're going to talk about Trump and his stance on Muslims. Muslims should not be allowed in the country. There's a lot more to that thought by Donald Trump. Some things he could have done better. I'm going to give you my viewpoint of his overall stance. And I'm going to give you kind of another rat-a-tat-tat of bullet points of things related to that stance that you may not know. It may change your opinion, because I know a number of you think that barring Muslims from entering the United States is a bad idea. And you know, there's two sides to the coin. We're going to be discussing them. And then we're going to talk about the theory of ICE, I-C-E. But not ICE as you know it. This is ICE as in the freezing up of financial credit markets and economies. And it's also called deflation, to be followed by inflation. Something you need to know, there's a bunch of great articles that I've posted this week, by the way, or my producer posted. And make sure you read the articles under family safety, the articles under economy, and the articles under women. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of articles under terror. And then we're going to talk about a really worrisome little thing that China is doing with credit scoring. Wow, wait till you hear about this, and you're going to say, oh, those dirty Chinese, they'll do anything to control their population. But let me tell you what's being done in the United States with your FICO score. And then we're going to talk about war cycles. You know, I've talked about these on previous shows. You can go back in the archives and listen. But there is a theory that there is a war cycle that is 50 to 75 years apart. And, of course, the last one, the last great war cycle being the Korean War, World War II, etc. This war cycle is prognosticated to begin to ramp up in 2012. And I think we've kind of seen that around the globe. And not peak until 2016 to 2020. That does not bode a great world. But war cycles are also affecting the world's economies. And that affects you and your family and your pocketbook. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then finally, we're going to talk about ISIS contained. You know Barry up there, our commander-in-chief, that brilliant, brave leader of America, that staunch believer in American values. Yes, that guy. We're going to talk about his statement about ISIS contained. And I'm going to tell you some things that you didn't know about what's really going on in the Middle East, because ISIS is not only not contained. I saw an interview with the British Defense Ministry guy, and you know, I mean, I guess he's all right. But you know, he was talking about how the United States is leading this coalition and this and that and the other. I mean, it just made you want to puke. It was all political. And of course, he was being interviewed in New York. So perhaps he was scared that Loretta Lynch would arrest him for being anti-Muslim. ISIS is not contained, folks. In fact, ISIS is not even contained geographically. They are adding geography to their caliphate. Wait till I tell you about it. So why don't we get started, shall we? First of all, do you remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? I'm sure you do. It kind of cratered the world's economy, affected many of you listening in your real estate, your loans, upside down values, many of which, by the way, have not yet recovered. Well, the government, of course, blamed the banks. And listen, there's plenty of blame to go to the banks. They were greedy. I've talked to you, and you should go back and listen to those shows. You can find them quite easily in the archives. The credit mess came from subprime mortgages. This is, you know, mortgages to 5 or 6 million people who didn't have a job, couldn't do a down payment, and were put in over their heads to begin with. I mean, it's just a default waiting to happen. And then the mortgages were packaged into CMOs and SBOs, which were all huge mortgage-backed securities. One led to the other. And then they were broken down into tranches based on credit ratings. You know, if you made a million, if you put $1 million down on your $2 million house and you're making $1 million a year, you were an A. And if you didn't have a job and you put down $100 on your house and your loan was in default, you were an F. And because risk has to do with interest rates, the F tranches paid more interest than the A tranches. But all these tranches were sold individually. I mean, you can't even track the mortgage anymore because they have been sliced and diced to investors all over the world. And, of course, the investment banks and bankers made lots and lots of money. And as you know, Eric Holder and Barry didn't prosecute a single one of them. And, you know, everybody says, oh, they didn't prosecute him because there wasn't this and there wasn't that. Here's why they didn't prosecute him. Because if they had prosecuted him, what would have become public? Because these bankers would have hired highfalutin attorneys and, you know, this would have been big national news for a long period of time. The reason they weren't prosecuted, folks, is because the banks didn't cause the mess. They capitalized on the mess, but they didn't cause it. What caused it was the government, particularly two people. Barney, baby. Remember Barney? Elizabeth, his boyfriend in Massachusetts or where the hell he is at now. And Chris Dodd, you know, the crook from Connecticut, who wrote the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act, which is killing community banks, making it difficult for you to finance, and upending the American financial system. It's also responsible for the, you know, 10-foot stack of paperwork you have to fill out when you go in to borrow 10 cents to buy a toothbrush. Thank you, Barney and Chris. But the government caused it through the Community Reinvestment Act. It originally started under Carter. It was solidified under Clinton. In fact, he did an interview in which he admitted, I believe it was in November of 2007 or 2008, in which he admitted that that had been a mistake of his. Because the Community Reinvestment Act mandated that these banks make a certain amount of loans at a certain amount of zip code in certain zip codes, which happen to be, of course, poor zip codes, and to a certain amount of unqualified minority whatever buyers. You know, it's redistribution of wealth, right? Reparations and retribution. And these banks, if they didn't do it, were fined. I mean, they were fined huge. $10 million was the average fine for not following the Community Reinvestment Act. So the government skewed this and created this subprime mortgage mess, which eventually became the meltdown, aided and abetted by the banks because they were greedy and wanted profits. In any event, that would have come out at these trials. That's why none of these people were prosecuted. But here's the rub. So you have a whole bunch of groups that Congress has defunded or refused to fund. I mean, extreme left groups from A to Z like La Raza and the Progressive Institute and all this nonsense. I mean, downright Marxist anti-American groups. In the case of La Raza, they want to give California, Nevada, etc. back to Mexico. Because, you know, us dirty colonialists, us nasty American imperialists stole it from Mexico. Anyway, Congress wouldn't fund these groups. So Eric Holder, instead of suing the people, because then the defense would have made it clear to the American public that it was the government's fault, not the bank's fault, instead sued the banks under some obscure laws. And by the banks, I mean the big banks. J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank and all those. You know, all of whom had huge hands in the mortgage mess. Didn't create it, but capitalized on it. And the banks agreed to pay all sorts of penalties. Billions, several billion dollars. Here's what you don't know. About $500 million, that's a lot of money, folks, was mandated in the settlements, which the government tried to keep secret, which have just come out, and which you haven't heard about in any media anywhere. It mandated in the settlements that the banks pay these fines, not to the government to reduce your tax bill, or to reimburse you, the taxpayer, for the monies that was taken out of your pocket via the government to shore up these same banks when the mortgage meltdown hit, but to give to these same groups, La Raza, Progressive Institute, you name it, the same groups that Congress defunded. So J.P. Morgan Chase, Citicorp, etc., as they pay their fines, are funding groups that are antithetical and anti-American that Congress has defunded. Now, I think somebody ought to go to jail for that one. Maybe starting with Eric and ending with Barry. I don't know. But it is outrageous. And you should contact your representative and they should shut it down right now. There's still $490 million to be paid by several banks in this slush fund that was illegally and surreptitiously and deviously and fraudulently created. Contact your representatives and get that money back in the U.S. Treasury. Stop the funding of these groups that were defunded, these anti-American groups that were defunded by Congress. I mean, how scummy does it get? Let's move on to the next subject. Mr. Trump and his rhetoric about banning Muslims from coming to the United States, at least temporarily, until, I use his words, our elected representatives find out what the hell is going on. Those are pretty true words. And by the way, I don't endorse any candidate yet, so let's not go off on the high horse here, folks. We're talking about a specific issue and a specific candidate's stance on an issue. And, of course, we know what the reaction of the left was. We know Barack Obama stood up there while his lips were moving. He was lying to us again about how this was anti-American. We know how Loretta Lynch, his hand-picked successor to Eric Holder as Attorney General of the United States, we know what she said in her press conference a day or two after the terror attack, which Barry was still trying to call workplace violence. After the terror attack in California, she got up there and said her biggest concern, you can't make this up, you can Google and listen to it. Her biggest concern was that she didn't want to see discrimination against Muslims in any speech that she considered hate speech against Muslims. She was going to prosecute. Doesn't prosecute Lerner, doesn't prosecute Hillary, doesn't prosecute the bankers, but she's going to prosecute you if you exercise your First Amendment right. Well, look, let me give you, before I get into the whole idea of banning Muslims from the United States, let me give you a rat-a-tat-tat, shall we? Because some of these things you may not know. First of all, this babe who came from Pakistan, Tashid, you know, of the duo who shot up those poor people at the Christmas party. And I happen to think that a Christmas party was chosen on purpose. I talked about that last week. But it's now come out she was radicalized in Pakistan before she entered into her nuptial vows and obtained her 90-day engagement visa to the United States with the boy there from Indiana, Rashid. That's number one. That's dot number one. Dot number two, she was in touch with all sorts of terrorist organizations, and so was he. Dot number three, there's a gentleman at the DHS. He's no longer at the DHS, but he was running a covert operation infiltrating MAS. and putting together kind of a string of intelligence over who was talking to who and what mosque was radicalizing who, et cetera, et cetera. And the DHS, under orders from the administration, I would imagine Valerie Jarrett, you know, Tehran-born Iranian Muslim Valerie Jarrett, was completely shut down. And he's convinced, I happen to see an interview that he did, and I think you can probably get it on the web right now. It was on Fox News, in fact. But he's convinced that had his surveillance continued, that he could have caught these guys, because it was in the specific mosque that these people attended in California was one of his focal points. And Rashid, whatever his name is, who cares what his name is? We know what he is and what she is. Their names are almost unimportant, right? Muhammad. Listen, this gentleman thinks that he could have caught it, except the administration shut the program down. Because you can't target mosques. You can't profile, you know. If a Nazi general shows up on your shores in 1944, you got to leave him alone because, you know, he's German. You can't pick out Germans. So that's dot number two. Dot number three. It's now been learned that $28,000 was mysteriously transferred to this couple's account just a few days before the terror attack. And money prior to that had been funneled. And, dot number four, the money came from overseas. And dot number five, when Tashid, the babe, the terror babe from Pakistan, when she was grilled, I use that term advisedly, interviewed for her visa, she wasn't even asked if she was associated with any jihadi group. And of course she was. Because dot number seven, not only was she radicalized in Pakistan long before this stuff, she attended a, shall we say, an Old Testament, if you want to equate that with the Quran, a Sharia, anti-Western, pro-jihadi Muslim school, you know, a madrasi. So she wasn't interviewed properly. And when she was interviewed, dot number nine, she gave a fake address and other fake information. They're just learning that now, because nobody who interviewed this terror babe bothered to check anything. Which, of course, leads you to dot 11. The two terrorists who did the same thing, who got into France and were part of the Paris terror attacks, which leads you to dot 12. If you can't interview a terror babe coming from Pakistan on a 90-day engagement visa and get the truth out of her, or even bother to check her responses, how the hell are you going to interview 10,000 Syrian refugees? Really? Really? Which leads us to dot number 13. You haven't heard about this terror attack, or perhaps you have, but I'm going to bring it up as one of the dots anyway. So you have a student, I believe it was 18 or 20 years old, and in Merced, also in California, who a few weeks ago attacked four other students with a knife. Now, there was a construction worker who slowed him down and saved a lot of people. Nobody got killed. And he got taken out by the police. Isn't that too bad? Oh, wah. The Muslim terrorist, the radical jihadi with an ISIS flag in his pocket and a diary which included talks about vowing to behead infidels. Isn't that too bad? He got taken out. I'm just so sorry. The point is, folks, that nobody's even talking about that terror attack. That's terror attack number one in California just a few weeks before terror attack number two. Fortunately, nobody died. Four people got hurt. I think one or two critically. Not a peep. I also don't hear Barry talking about knife violence occasions, just gun violence occasions. Which leads us to dot 15. I believe I'm on 15. And that is, besides the Terror Babe's false engagement future wife credentials, which were never checked out, in France, they raided three mosques. You know, they've detained 2,000 suspected Muslims over there. I mean, the French are finally pissed off. Obviously, the French are more pissed off than Barry is, because Barry isn't even talking about terror. He barely admits it's a terror attack. He calls it another act of gun violence. In fact, his response to that is not to tighten security, overhaul the visa program, strengthen the interrogations, make sure that people's information is actually checked against verifiable data, which in the case of Syrian refugees can't even do, according to the FBI, the National Intelligence Chief, the CIA. No, what he wants to do is he wants to take away guns from law-abiding Americans. Because in his mind, who could possibly believe the government is going to protect us? You know, at the end of last week's show, I gave you my theory on how to stop terrorism. And it doesn't have anything to do with government. It should be mandated that everybody has firearms training at the age of 16 and perhaps refresher courses at 18, 21, whatever. I'll let the psychological experts figure that out. And that everybody be required to own a firearm. You don't want to use it. You want to pack it in mothballs. You want to put it in pieces. You want to scatter them around the house. That's fine. You are required to own a firearm. And you know, 90% of the people who own a firearm will carry it as long as concealed carry is legalized across the board in all states. And you know, if I'm a terrorist, oh yeah, some of them want to die and go to heaven and do the 72 virgin deal or whatever they've convinced themselves of. But if I'm a converted terrorist, or I'm a terrorist, and I know that 90% of the people I come into contact with have a gun, I'm probably going to rethink what I do. In fact, I may not even do it. And if I do it, I'm not going to get very far because there's going to be about 10 people who are going to take me out. And that is the way you control terror in the United States. But I digress. Because Barry's idea is you disarm everybody and that will control terror in the United States, apparently. But anyway, France raided, they've detained these 2,000 Muslims. They raided three mosques. Two simply had kind of jihadi literature. You know, I mean, other than exhorting people to love the Prophet and the infidels, etc., blah, 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 blah. Not too much. But the third mosque, yes, it had ISIS propaganda materials, printed materials, and loads of ammunition for rifles. What's that doing in a mosque? They build their altars out of ammunition? So that's dot number 15, I believe. Then, of course, you have dot number 16, which kind of just brings us back to the same Barry, Valerie, Carrie, Sop Carrie, and the crew really don't care about us, America, or the security of your family. Okay, that brings us to the last dot. this guy by the name of Alcozy, who was released from Gitmo. I mean, you've all heard about all the Gitmo folks going back to the battle, etc. Well, this guy was an associate of Bin Laden. He was a high-profile release. The administration assured us, no problem, not a threat to America, blah, 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 totally reformed. Guess what? He's now on videos as one of the senior commanders of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Perhaps the most dangerous group in terms of pulling off something big in the United States, or potentially pulling off something big in the United States. And he's on videos recruiting jihadis to attack the West and the United States. This was a Gitmo detainee 2 years ago that Barry released. And of course, we know about the five Taliban and two of them already back in the battlefield. It's go on and on and on. Now, I think if you take all this stuff, you take all these dots, and you draw a line, it comes down to, A, our security is lax. B, our security is behind the scenes. It's reactive, not proactive. C, we can't even vet somebody with a record. We don't even bother to verify, as in the example I gave you of Terror Babe, who came over in the 90-day engagement visa. We don't even bother to verify information that she gives in an interview against information which we could check, which would have told us it was false. That might have been a clue as to what her real intent was. And we don't act. In fact, we shut down investigations that lead us, or could lead us, to thwart terror attacks before they occur, i.e., Terror Babe and Terror Dude in California and their contacts with all the terror outfits prior to this attack. So, Donald Trump wants to block Muslims from coming to the country. You know, he really should have prefaced that with all the folks at high government positions who have some patriotic fervor. Kumi from the FBI. You've heard all the people. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to repeat news for you. There's five or six very high-ranking law enforcement and intelligence folks who have said, absolutely, ISIS and other terror groups are going to infiltrate both the refugee stream and the lax immigration and the porous borders, period. And we have proof, and I've talked about in other shows, that ISIS has already infiltrated the southern border in league with the cartels, the drug cartels. Now, in the face of all this, although Trump, I think, really missed an opportunity to give it foundation before he launched his politically incorrect missile, which I laughed at when I heard. He's on to something. Except that you can't shut down all Muslims. Number one, it's unconstitutional. You can't pick on somebody because of their religion. And it's dangerous, I'll remind you, because what if tomorrow somebody's running around saying they want to do it with Catholics, or they want to do it with Jews, or Protestants, or Hindus, or Buddhists? I mean, it's a slippery slope. You don't want to go there. However, you can do this legally by blocking all immigration of any type whatsoever, visas, you name it, except for business groups, i.e. a gentleman who's been conducting business, owns a business in the United States, has been thoroughly vetted, has been running the business for 15 years. I mean, whatever the criteria is. A proven commodity, if you know what I'm saying. And Muslims who have patiently been in line trying to immigrate legally, there's no reason to shove them to the back of the bus. They've been following the laws. unlike many of our Mexican friends and Central American and South American friends. So, you know, there has to be certain waivers of the policy. And the policy has to be constitutional. And the policy has to be done in such a way as to not begin the slippery slope of what's the next group that you target for X, Y, and Z. You know, in Poland, during the Holocaust, Jews were forced to sew and wear armbands with yellow stars of David. I don't know how many of you people have read Mila 18 by Leon Uris, but you should read it. It's a great novel, but it's about the Jewish uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto. By the way, it will also bring home to you the importance of the Second Amendment. I digress. To be constitutional, to stay away from the slippery slope, and to be pragmatic about this ban, what Trump should have said was, we're going to ban all immigration other than those select groups, the vetted businessman, the people who've been in line, etc. We're going to ban all immigration from these countries, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, Libya, Syria, Iraq, you name it, whatever the countries are. That, my friends, is legal. Not only is it legal, there's a precedence. Jimmy Carter banned most Iranians. Germans and Japanese were banned by FDR. And ad infinitum. And I think if you take Donald Trump's position, you give it the foundation of facts from patriotic people, not that there's many left, patriotic people at the higher level of governments. And you make it constitutional and you avoid the slippery slope of which group would be next. Then, I like what he has to say. Because you know what? If you don't fit into one of those very narrow waiver categories, longevity, fully vetted, invested, or in line, you bet, shut it down. We're just asking for trouble. And in my heart of hearts, I think Barry and Valerie, they want this Trojan horse. Yes, they do. After all, they created the crisis that created the refugees, folks. And it all could have been avoided except for their acts and lack of acts. And we already know they're really smart. They think long-term game plan. And why don't we just say, I have my suspicions. So, that's my take on Donald Trump stuff. Clean up the pitch, Donald. And not only will 60% or whatever it is of folks be behind you, but 90% of the folks will be behind you.